And again, we should worship him 365, 24/7. And so we shouldn't really need a special time of the year to worship him. But this is the time that the world, and maybe that's the definitive term, world, has set aside to worship, even though it's a church function. And yet and still, we can't find Jesus anywhere else.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Proclaiming the Good News. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Proclaiming the Good News.
For somebody. We got more pain in our heart being concerned about other people get our Christmas list. We have more pain in our heart wondering about where we're going to gather or having to clean up or having to do all these other things. We have more pain in our heart about all the trappings. And Paul said, I've seen Christmas. And I understand what Christmas is all about. And I have a continual pain in my heart for my people who have rejected their own Jewish Messiah. I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, my pain is so deep, watch this now, watch this so you don't miss it, that my pain is so deep that I'm calling on the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Because you wouldn't believe that I hurt this much for my people. You wouldn't believe that this pain is so deep in my heart. He says, my conscience is not lying, and I'm calling the Holy Spirit to testify to this pain that's in my spirit. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. See the heart of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Is this your testimony? Is this your testimony today? Jeremiah says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. What a powerful testimony to a burden. We got to catch a burden of what Christmas is all about. And as we catch this burden, then we're able to go forth with new and fresh zeal to serve the one and only, the true and living King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this burden was so strong in the heart of the Apostle Paul that I have a burden for my family to know Christ in a powerful way. But I don't know that I have the burden that Paul had. Because Paul said that my burden is so great that look what he says in verse 3. He says, for I wish that I could myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In hermeneutics, we study figures of speech. And one of the figures of speech is a hyperbole, and that is an exaggeration, an exaggerated statement. And Paul is exaggerating here because he knows that he can't give up his salvation for his people. But that's the desire of his heart. This thing is so strong in his heart that he said that I myself, and the Greek word there for curse is the word anathema. Anathema. And that is the strongest word in the Greek language that you can use to curse. And it means that a person is given up to destruction. It means that a person, watch this now, is devoted to divine condemnation. Divine condemnation. Anathema. Paul had a burden, and the burden in his heart was so strong that he wished himself to be under divine condemnation and that his people could be saved. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were tears so that I could weep for the lost state of my people. And we sing, and we sing. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Paul's burden to go tell. Paul's boldness to go tell. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He says that I'm not ashamed. And I went back and I began to do a word study of this Greek word, ashamed. And what it means is, the word ashamed means a reluctance to say something or do something because of fear and humiliation. A lack of courage to stand up and a feeling of shame. Paul said that I'm not ashamed. I'm not reluctant to speak. I don't fear humiliation, and I don't lack courage to stand up. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody on the radio going to hear this message and shout. Somebody on the radio going to hear this message and shout. Paul said that I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I'm not reluctant to do something. I don't fear humiliation, and I don't lack the courage to stand up. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we sing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Warren Wiersbe tells the story that when he was in high school, he was chosen to be an office monitor. And he said that he was so proud of this assignment because the principal would entrust important messages to him to go and tell the teachers and other staff members. And he said sometimes it even meant that he would go outside of the school to deliver a message. So he was excited about the fact that he was an office monitor. And Wiersbe says this, "No teacher ever scolded me, because even if I went into the classroom and interrupted a lesson, they knew that I had a message from the principal. I never had to be afraid or ashamed because I knew where the message came from." Do you know where the message comes from? Do you know where go tell it on the mountain comes from? It comes from God. And so Paul could boldly proclaim that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I have this message from God. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we don't realize where our message comes from. Wiersbe said, I could go into the classroom and I could interrupt the teacher and I wouldn't have to apologize or be ashamed because I was bringing a message from the principal. We don't need to be ashamed. You know, I wrote a book, and actually the book is in the bookstore if you want to pick up a copy of it. I think there's limited copies. But the title of this book is Letting Your Net Into the Water. And the subtitle is A Step-by-Step Guide to Practical Evangelism. And this book that I wrote actually covers the A to Z's of evangelism. You know, in this book, I talk about how to prepare to evangelize, how to present the gospel to the unbeliever. I have four plans of salvation in here that you can read, and when you get ready to have the opportunity to share your faith with somebody else, there's four plans that you can use in this book. But probably one of the most interesting parts of this book is in here, I talk about five different types of evangelism, five ways to evangelize other people, so that as you go and as you share the good news, that you can pick a style that fits your personality. Because see, everybody is not a John the Baptist, get in the face of Herod type individual. All right? Now, there are some. There are some bold folks. I remember Pastor Berkeley, the guy who was instrumental in me coming to the Lord. I remember when we first got saved. It was New Year's Eve. And Pastor Berkeley and I went out witnessing. And we came up to a corner, and we met two white guys standing on the corner. And Pastor Berkeley asked them, "If you die tonight, do you know where you're going?" And the other guy said, "Why are you asking me that?" And the other guy said, "Because he's getting ready to kill us." We was bold, Jack. Boldly proclaiming the word. Yeah, Pastor Berkeley, if you die tonight, do you know where you're going to go? So, you know, some people are bold. But in here, we talk about five types of evangelism. Friendship evangelism. Testimony evangelism. Invitational evangelism. Media evangelism. And confrontational evangelism. Now, you want to find out what they are. I don't have time to get them to in the sermon, but I give a definition and biblical examples of all of them. Now, even in here, one of them is testimonial evangelism. There's a section in here that takes you step by step and shows you how to write your testimony. How can you write your personal testimony to be ready to share it with somebody else? See, the Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Are you ashamed of the gospel? Have you at least written out your testimony? Do you have, now we're talking about Christmas, right? We're talking about giving gifts to other people. Maybe the greatest gift that you can give to God is to write your testimony out. I mean, to take a half hour and sit down and think about your testimony and write your testimony out and say, "Lord, this is my gift to you this Christmas." And I guarantee you, if you take the time to do that, at some point, the Holy Spirit is going to burden your heart to share it with somebody else. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The last chapter of this book is witnessing to people in special situations. I give you points on how to witness to relatives and close friends. How to witness to co-workers, whole section on that. How to witness to Jewish people. How to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses. How to witness to Mormons. How to witness to people in the Nation of Islam. How to witness to atheists. And pointers for witnessing to people who are members of a cult. So, see, there's no excuse. People say, "Well, you know, that's just not my thing. You know, that's just not my thing to witness and evangelize." Well, how in the world can we sit here and sing "Go Tell It on the Mountain"? I don't understand that. Now, I'm a little confused. How can we sing "Go Tell It on the Mountain" when we don't want to tell it? We don't want to tell it. Next, we see blockages. Blockages. And see, here's where the problem comes in. You know, when we start to go share, and I deal with that in here too. I deal with that in here. When we start to go share the gospel, we run into opposition. Yeah, you know what? Write it down. Just as sure as 1 o'clock is going to come up in 35 minutes, And hopefully you're not still sitting here. Just as sure as 1 o'clock, you're going to run into opposition. Put up that next slide, bro. Look at Paul. Obstacles. Because he was going and telling. He was put in jail. He was run out of places. He had to, on one occasion, be smuggled out of a place because they was going to kill him. He was mocked. Oh, well, that's why I really don't want to be mocked. I really don't want to be rejected. Paul was mocked. He suffered as a result of sharing the gospel. He was defamed. People took his name and drug it through the mud. And then he was stoned to death and left there. I'm telling you. Go tell it on the mountain. Somebody said, well, I should have went to church somewhere else this morning, man. I wanted to hear a nice Christmas message that, you know, got me in the cheery mood, right? Okay. Well, maybe we'll ease it up, lighten it up next week, right? But this is the real deal. This is the real deal. You know, I mean, when you decide that you are going to step out and share your faith, when you decide you're going to step out and go tell it on a mountain, you can be sure that there are going to be obstacles to you going and telling. Next slide, please. How are we blocked to evangelism? Now, again, I get into this in detail in here. But these are five things that block us from doing evangelism. Ignorance? Well, I don't know. I don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord. I don't know the Bible. All right, well, the shepherds didn't know the Bible either, did they? But they went and told. Okay. So, I mean, you know, we can say all this stuff, that ignorance, but here at Bethany Baptist Church, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not saying this, and I've said this before, as far as Pastor Tane, Pastor Farmer, they were great men of God who taught the Word of God. Two great men of God that were here, you know, over 30 years between the two of them, or close to 30 years between the two of them. Now, I've been here 21. And I know the Word has been preached, and that people have opportunity. We got Bible Institute. We got missions programs. We got all kind of stuff. So there's no excuse for people not to know the message. And again, if nothing else, get this and write your own testimony out. Write your testimony out. A big one is fear. People are afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of what happened to the Apostle Paul. Afraid of being rejected. Afraid of being defamed. I mean, we all fear rejection. Well, well, they don't really want to hear it anyways. Well, I mean, some people don't. But I would say, let's go back to the first point, and that is, do you have a burden? Do you have a burden? I mean, do you wish that your head was water and your eyes were tears? At least start there. Even if you fear, do you have a burden? Let us at least catch a burden to go and tell. Indifference. Many of God's people just don't care. All right. Again, you're more concerned about what you're going to get or give for Christmas than you are about the lost condition of people that are dying and going to hell. You know, I heard a preacher, he got up and he used a profane word, and the congregation was all aghast. And he said, now see, some of y'all are more offended at what I said and upset about what I said than you are upset about people that are dying and going to hell. Wow. Bad experience. Some people just had a bad experience. You know, they tried it, had a bad experience, and then they don't give it up. You know, there was one point in my time in my life, I had acid reflux. And what does acid reflux come from? From eating the wrong food, and you have a what? A bad experience. But as you can see, I haven't stopped eating. So, you know, we can't let a bad experience keep us from doing what it is that we're supposed to do, right? I got my trainer out there. I know he's looking at me like, come on. Disobedience. Disobedience. We just have been disobeying. You know, we know that this is what we're supposed to do, and we just haven't done it. So, we see God is looking for a gift. And there are a lot of gifts that we can give him this Christmas that doesn't cost anything. Which leads me to my last point today. We had talked about the burden, the boldness, the blockages, and there is a blessing. There is a blessing that comes out of all this. We may not see the blessing right now, but there is a blessing that is coming. If you could put that slide back up, my brother. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. Or actually, let's go back to verse 1. Philippians 4, 1. So make that correction. Philippians 4, 1. He said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. My joy and my crown. The word crown here comes from the Greek word stephanos. And it referred to the crown that went to the victor in athletic competition. What a powerful statement Paul is making. Paul says that I had a burden to win folk to Jesus Christ. He said, I had the boldness to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were many blockages out there that hindered me as I proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I was in an athletic event, and I ran, I worked out, I lifted weights, I stretched, I ate right, I went through everything that I was supposed to go through. He said, now I've come to get my reward. And what is my reward? He told the Philippians, you are my reward. You are my crown. This burden that I have, this boldness that I proclaimed, these blockages that I jumped over, I did it all for you. You are my crown. And as I think of 21 years pastoring here at Bethany Baptist Church, I'm not going to ask people to stand up. But if I was to ask people to stand up this morning, there would be many folk that would stand up in this congregation. And I would point to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and I would say, you are my crown. You are my crown. When you get to heaven, how many crowns are you going to have? How many crowns are you going to be able to look around in heaven and say, there goes one. There goes one. There goes one. Oh, don't be like the church that split off of another church and they moved right across the street. And on one Sunday morning, the first church was singing, will there be any stars in my crown? And the church across the street saying, no, not one. No, not one. Don't be like that. Paul said, you are my crown. You are my crown. Discipleship. Going and telling.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Paul, A Life Dominated by the Will of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Proclaiming the Good News, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Proclaiming the Good News. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Proclaiming the Good News. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.